What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Joining us now, a legend in himself, Brewers all-time great, Hall of Famer Paul Molitor joins us now here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. I am sorry for the horrible news today with the passing of Bob Uecker.
Yeah, it's a difficult day, and as all the people of Wisconsin and Brewer Nation understand, I mean, you know, probably one of the most significant sports figures in Wisconsin sports history. And you have to say he lived a full life, a good life. You know, sometimes a lot of people want to measure life by how they impacted other people. And I think that praise would be limitless as far as how many people in a positive way that he's affected that have had a chance to listen to his broadcast throughout the year.
They just had the movie out, Just a Bit Outside. And we got to live the 82 season, and obviously a lot of different members of that team were a part of that, Uecker being a part of it as well. What was that time like when you're going to the World Series? Obviously, his call, famous forever. What was that like with Bob during that season?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you would say his peak year or two or three were, but it was kind of around that time. You hear Robin talking about it a lot when, you know, we would still fly commercial from time to time back then. And it wasn't about Robin or Raleigh or whomever when we'd go through the airports. It was about Bob Uecker. I mean, he was just that big. But it never affected him. It never changed him. He was still a light in our clubhouse every day. He still threw batting practice every day. And as we have seen, even through recent seasons, he had a way to connect to players. Players connected to him. And that never stopped from the day he stepped into that broadcast booth for the first time till his last season last year.
Well, that team back in the day, y'all like to get out and get after it a little bit. Was he getting out and getting after it a little bit too with y'all back in the day?
We did a lot of things together, including going out and having a beer. And he was always kind of the center of attention, and definitely the humor that he provided on the air or on his shows or on Carson. It worked that way when he was around the guys, too. I wonder sometimes what it was like, or was there pressure that if you knew that every time you went out or every room you went into or every time your mic got clicked on that you were expected to be funny. Yeah. I think that would take its toll, but it just didn't seem to with Bob because it was so natural for him, the way his mind worked, you know, the comedic genius part of him that just no matter the environment or the situation, it seemed to always just be, you know, right out there for everyone to enjoy. So, yeah, we'd get out now and then, and certainly he was a part of that.
Time with Brewers great Hall of Famer Paul Molitor here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. You remember Bob Uecker as he passes away at the age of 90. And we were talking about that earlier as far as that Hall of Fame speech. He didn't have a script. He just walked out there and did 20 minutes. I mean, you were there. You listened to it. That was amazing.
Yeah, I think that for people who have never taken that time to go back and Google that speech, it was just so typical Bob in that there wasn't any notes. I wasn't sure. No one was sure which way he was going to go. The laughter of the Hall of Famer sitting behind him was just nonstop. And he never cracked a smile during the whole thing. You know, it's just that dry delivery, that self-deprecating humor that he was just a master of.
The other thing I think people shortchange him on quite a bit, because, you know, you look at his career numbers, fine, say what you want to say, but he was really baseball smart. And that was one area when you listen to his broadcast, if you paid attention, dude, he was all over it. And I think that obviously being a player himself, being as smart as he was, that probably resonated with a lot of the guys in the clubhouse over the course of all the generations of players that he commingled with.
Well, I think the players trusted him. And I think he was a fair shooter in terms of the games. I think that, you know, he would say when things weren't right for the home players, but it was never in a manner that was offensive. And I think that's part of the reason he had such a good relationship with the players. But, you know, he was a Hall of Fame broadcaster, not because he was just a funny broadcaster. The baseball part was first. It was definitely a perk in a blowout game that he could make it more entertaining by telling stories. But as far as the game itself and knowledge of the game, it was superlative, no doubt about that.
And obviously, Easter Sunday in 87, the calls there of Deer and Swain will live in infamy, I would say, in this town.
Yeah, that was a special time. You know, we had gone through some down periods after 82 and everything that had happened, and all of a sudden we come out with that winning streak to start that 87 season under Tom Treblehorn, and it was the highlight of that whole stretch of games was that comeback on Easter Sunday. And, you know, I've heard his call on both Rob Deere's tying home run and then Swain's home run to win it. I've seen County Stadium, especially like in the playoffs in 82 against the Angels. But as far as a regular season game, I think that Easter game on that particular Sunday is probably the number one highlight for a regular season game.
And as a fan, everybody remembers where they were, what they were doing, when they were listening to it on the radio when y'all made that comeback. It was absolutely amazing. Talking with Paul Molitor, Brewers great, Hall of Famer here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Did you as a player, I was curious about this, have you as a player ever either during the season or after you've retired and later on ever gone back and heard any of his calls? I mean, you had that 39-game hitting streak in 87. Have you ever gone back to hear any of those or no?
I really haven't listened to many things while I was playing. Obviously, I've heard some things along the way and various snippets. But there was times if you were on the disabled list or whatever, you know, you might be up in the clubhouse listening to some of the games and catch some of his broadcasting. The games that I've gone down there for special occasions, I was down there for when they celebrated his 50th season, you know, three years ago. And we sat up in the booth for the whole game and just to watch him work. Even at that time, he was probably 87 years old or something like that, and he hadn't lost a thing. So, it was just always magical when I did have a chance. And I think one episode in particular, one game in particular, when I was listening in the clubhouse in Milwaukee was when he got into this whole thing. There was a player called Otobie McDowell from the
Otobie McDowell.
Rangers.
Otobie McDowell, yeah.
And it was a blowout game, and I think he spent about two innings going through Otobie's siblings, you know, wannabe and could-a-be and should-a-be and had-to-be. And I just remember going, you know, whose mind thinks like that? So I didn't get to listen to him a lot, obviously, as a player, but there were some special times and some things I've heard, including the memory of that particular story that stick out for me.
Was he throwing batting practice back in the 80s to you guys, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, pretty much consistently, he threw to my group, which was Cecil Cooper, Robin Yount, and Paul Molitor, because we hit in groups of threes. And so, you know, he put on that number one jersey, and he was like a machine, man. It was the best BP of my career, just straight over the top, four seamers. He got you locked in, and he loved doing that. You know, if I didn't see him swimming at a pool in the morning at a hotel, it wouldn't seem right, and if I didn't see him throwing batting practice every day, it wouldn't have seemed right either.
And that wears on your arm. You do that every single day for an entire season, and then you do it for as many years as he did it on top of it. My goodness. And, you know, he always talked about how much he loved it. What about
He used to say he had a lot of arm left because he never played very much.
Of course, yes. I would figure as much. Paul, thanks so much for coming on and joining us. I truly do appreciate it on the short notice. And again, really, really am sorry about the passing of Bob Uecker, as everybody obviously is sad today over that. But enjoy hearing the stories.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the time I was able to spend with him, and I'm sure everybody connected to Brewer baseball, even beyond that, are certainly going to miss him. So thanks for having me on.